Well, if you were expecting to see Paul this morning, I'm sorry, but we'll do our best. The Lord did lay this on my heart a long time ago to do this sermon. If I, if Paul decided to get out of town or need me to come, so I'm just trusting that the Lord will bring it together and make it a blessing to you. Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege to be here. We thank you for the privilege to study your word and to hear your word and to fellowship one with another. And I just pray that your word would go forth and that you would use me as an instrument, Lord, to purvey that word to the congregation. And I pray that we would all learn more from you today in Jesus' name. Amen. When we are thinking, I stole the title to my sermon, Let's Just Praise the Lord, the little song, Let's Just Praise the Lord, that we sing, because praise and worship is so important, are so important to our relationship with God. And actually, that's why we're here. We are created to be praising Him and worshiping Him. He's a jealous God. He wants to be first, and He wants to be praised and loved. And we all know that He has done so many things for us that He's certainly worthy. The song, Worthy of Worship. Glory to the Lamb. He is worthy of our praise. So I'm going to read two scriptures, and then I'm going to, we're going to sing that little song. Psalm 50:23, Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. And actually we have a song, there's a tune to that too, that we have sung in the past. Psalm 100 verse 4, and we've just, we do this many times. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. So, I would like for us to sing. You do not have to stand up. Let's just praise the Lord. It's on page 18, but I think everybody knows it. But if you're not sure, we're just going to sing it. Martha, you don't have to play it. We'll just... She's grateful. We'll make her move. So, everybody together, let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just lift our hearts toward heaven and praise the Lord. So I hope you're lifting your hearts toward heaven. When I started studying for this, I started looking up praise. I always do, they always taught us in school to brainstorm. So I always brainstorm. I get my subject and I go to my big old fat Strong's Concordance and I look up all these scriptures and everything, and then of course you filter it out. Because if I'd read all the scriptures that I found on worship and praise, we'd be here for quite a long time today. So I'm not going to do that to you. But what I'd like you to do is to turn in the Old Testament to 2 Samuel 6. And this is going to be our main crux of the matter this morning, the main story that we're going to use. And I'm going to read it from the King James. I just like it in there. So it'll be a little different from yours. I didn't even mark my scripture. Starting in verse 1. Chapter 6. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baali, or I don't know how to say it, or if it's just Baal, of Judah, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and that was great in Gibeah. And Usah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove, that's King James, the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahio went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments made of fir wood, even on harps and psalteries, and on the timbrels, and on cornets, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Usah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Usah, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Usah and had called his name, and called the name of the place Perazuah. I don't know why I picked these scriptures, because they have some hard words, so deal with, please give me some benefit of the doubt, I'm not sure, to this day. So I guess Perazuah, okay. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, "How shall the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David, but David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Nedom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Nedom and the Gittite 3 months, and the Lord blessed him and all his household. And it was told to King David, saying, "The Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom." There's going to be a test. Everybody's going to have to say these words after the sermon. "And all that pertaineth unto him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark from the house of him into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now we're going to stop there. It continues, but we're going to stop for right now, right there. The thing that I want to point out to you, first of all, I used to read that story, and I've heard that story told many a time, and I used to think how unfair it was. This man who was trying to help carry the ark of God was simply trying to keep that ark from falling. And I thought, how David felt. It was so unfair for God to smite that man dead. But then if you go back in the scriptures before this time, God told them exactly how to carry that ark. And he didn't want it put on a cart. He had wanted them to carry it. He wanted the priests to carry it. And they were not supposed to put it on this little cart that could, slide or whatever. And they were not being obedient to God. And, I think about that, I think, how we think our ways are better. Even back in the days of David, they were trying to do something better than God. And God had already given them what to do and told them exactly how to carry that. So after they went back, and I guess he had to go back to the law and the teachings of how to carry the ark, he figured it out. And they made it into the camp. Now, when that Ark of the Covenant was with them, that was God with them. That was the symbol of God being with them. And as long as the Ark was in their camp, they were blessed. And he even blessed this man who allowed that Ark to sit there within his home and at his place. And he was blessed because he was protecting the Ark of the Covenant. So, we need to be obedient when he tells us to do something. And when David realized that the presence of the Lord was back with them, what did he do? He said, or it says, that he sacrificed oxen and fatlings, and he danced before the Lord with all his might. Now, I'm not going to advocate that we all get up and dance before the Lord. I'm not going to do that. But what was he doing? He was praising God. He was praising God. And when he did that, he didn't care if people thought he was out of character or out of place doing that, because he was the king. But he worshiped God. And in the commentaries that you read, I thought it was really beautiful. In the one commentary, it said, you know, well, when he got home, I don't know if you remember the rest of that story, he was anxious to go and tell his wife what had happened. But she had been watching, and she was disgusted because she thought he made a fool of himself. And it was kind of comical. In the side note, it said, you know how sometimes we go home and we want to share a blessing with our family, and they shoot us down. Well, that's what Michael did. You know, you go home, you're happy about something, and you go in and you tell your wife or your husband, and they say, yeah, but you didn't do this, and you did this, and you know, you looked like a fool. And that's what she told him. And from that day on, they never had a good relationship in their marriage. She never had any children. And that was a curse at that time. It didn't come out and say that that's why she never had any children, but it was kind of ironic that, you know, she made fun of him. She was embarrassed by him. But you know what he said? He said that he really didn't care what she thought or what anybody thought, because he was worshiping God from his heart. And he was doing what he felt led to do. And when we go into worshiping God, everybody worships in a different way. Some people can't feel free to dance. I don't feel free to dance before the Lord. I'm telling you, I think it's a beautiful thing that some people can and dance in praise. But that's not me. And it's probably not you. But people who do all kinds of things to worship. So we have people who raise their hands, they clap their hands. We have people who are in complete silence and don't like to speak anything. So I just think it was beautiful, because it was funny. He's probably a favorite character of many people. He's one of my favorite from the Old Testament, because he's so human. But through everything that David did and everything that he went through, he always came back and was committed to God, in that he worshiped him with his whole heart. And he worshiped him, and he was a man after God's own heart. We know that he did some terrible things, but he always came back and asked forgiveness from God. So there are a lot of reasons why we need to praise God, and I've written down some of them, and I have two different lists. And the one I'm going to do right now, when David was bringing that ark into their presence, and even after he got there, he appointed regular singers and musicians to minister before the ark, which represented the presence of the Spirit of God and the presence of God. He had people actually appointed for praise. So that makes it a pretty important job, doesn't it? And there are 8 reasons, according to Dave's Bible, and it's, well, according to Scripture. This is from 1 Chronicles 16, 7-14. First of all, the privilege of prayer is a reason for us to praise God. God is always there. He's always waiting for us to come to him when we have a problem. But he also wants to hear us praising. He's waiting. And like last week, when we were having the story, I made the statement, and I believe sometimes this does happen. You know, sometimes we run into a rough place so that we pray. Because we can go through the day and have a wonderful day, and you get to the end of the day and think, well, gee, I didn't pray today. You know, I don't know if that's ever happened to you. And even if we're not asking for something, we need to be in an attitude of praise all the time. And we'll get into that later. All the things he's done among men, his wondrous and marvelous work, his holy name, his strength, his wonders, his judgments in the earth, and he is the Lord our God. So we need to praise him, just like that little song, worthy of worship, worthy of praise, worthy of honor and glory. And he is our creator, he's our father, and he's also our savior, our sustainer. Those words are just so powerful that our whole life is in his hands. And that's where we need to put ourselves, not in anybody else's hands. And so we need to praise God. We need to praise him when things aren't going good. And that's a hard thing to do when things aren't going good. If things are going good, Toddy won that game last week, he's real happy. They lose that game today, that might be a different story. And eventually he's going to lose. You know, he probably will lose. I mean, you know, you never know. But in life, every day, we face things. And when we're going through the rough times, we have to remember to praise, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And that is in, let me see if I can find in my notes, Psalm 22, 5. No, it isn't 22:5. Hang on a minute. Got my notes mixed up. Oh, you know what? I know where I wrote that. Well, I don't. Can you take my word for it? That he does dwell in the praises of his people. Okay. See, this is where we need a commercial. Here it is. It's 22:3. It's right here. But thou art holy, thou art thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That's him. That's God. He inhabits his people. Okay. God also, other reasons for praising God is that he commands us to do so. He wants our praise. The whole first 4 10 commandments tell us about putting him first, praising him, worshiping him first, before anything else, thou shalt not have any other gods before him. And all of those things that he tells us in Exodus 2, 3 through 10, in the Ten Commandments, that was important enough that he used 4 commandments about praising him and keeping him first. So whatever you're going through, whether it's a bad time or a good time, we need to praise. He also deserves our praise. Think of what God has done for us. What has he done for you? What did he do for you this week? I can think back to when we were starting Bible school, because you never know how it's going to go. You never know, you know, who all's really going to show up. And we had as many helpers, I guess, as we did children, and we had such a good time together. And we remarked about how we just enjoyed the fellowship of just being together. The adults, even though, you know, the children enjoyed, of course, all the activities and everything, but it was just such a good time in the Lord. And he really blessed us, and he brought who needed to be here, and he provided. We had, everything was donated for Bible school. So, you know, it was a wonderful thing. But God will bless us, because, and he's been holy. He's faithful. He's our creator. And we need to remember those things, not just on Sunday morning when we come in to the church and we say our prayers. You know, when we pray, we're supposed to pray with thanksgiving. We're supposed to give him praise. There used to be, I think I do remember most of them. There was a little thing for the, I don't know what they call it, acrostic or something, for pray. The first thing, P, is for praise. R is for repent. A is for ask. And Y is for yield. And when you pray, you should praise him first. Don't just come and start asking. just, you know, always thank him for what he's already done for you. And then repent if there is anything in your life that would keep you from receiving from him. And I really like, well, then of course you ask, but I really like the why in there, that we yield. Because when we let God lead us and guide us, that's when we will be successful. And I know we all have ideas about the way things should go, and we all figure things out, and we think we have the answers to every problem in our life sometimes, but we don't really. We really don't. But God does. Another thing is that we need to give God the praise, because he is who we need to build our whole world on. Last week we talked about the children, with the little story about the wise men built his house upon the rock and the foolish men built upon the sand. And anything that is not God is sand. And it even mentioned that in here. I thought it was interesting. He is our master and we build on him. Anything less is quicksand. And it says, one who worships God not only will be in heaven, but will be joyful in the present time. You know, if you go around sad and unhappy all the time and always looking for the negative and never thinking about the good things in your life or how God has brought you so far, we all are born in the United States of America, which I think is a big, big reason to praise God. And we are blessed because we are here. There are people who, we have no comprehension of how people who are in underdeveloped countries live and how they are starving and how their children die from starvation. And, you know, none of us have had to go through that. Not to say that there aren't people in the United States, maybe in a bad way, but we have been so blessed just to be born in the United States, let alone for somebody who would be willing to save our soul by sending his son. That's, think about it. And you know, we sing that song, our God is an awesome God. He really is. When we think about the meaning of worship, I hope I don't get emotional. I'm sorry, but there's something within me that when I think about how good God is and what he has done for us, I get a little emotional. And, you know, wrong or right, we're all different. But please forgive me if I tear up. Because as I was studying this last night, the Lord, I had gone through all of those scriptures. And last night, when he brought me back to that same story about David, I thought, man, you really want me to share that story, don't you? Because I had looked up two different words. And I had two, it was in Samuel and in Chronicles, because, you know, it repeats the story. But it brought me to that same story in a different book, because I thought, oh, there's another story, and it was the same story. But how God will guide you, and I'm not always in doing what I should do and listening to God like I should, and I know we all fail in that. But man, if we could get to the point where we trusted him and let him guide us, we would be praising all the time, because it's a glorious thing, what he has done for us. Think about it. When we die, we go to heaven. And when he comes back, we're going to come back and reign with him. And then we're going to spend eternity praising God and singing around the throne, glory to the Lamb. We'll be before Jesus. Jesus, wouldn't you love to touch him? Wouldn't you love to touch him for what he's done for us? But worship is reverence, honor, respect, directed toward the Lord in thought and feeling. Don't be afraid to feel. Don't be afraid to enjoy the blessing. You know, in the Old Testament, I will just tell you this story. I won't look it up, but I do have the scripture written down. But when Solomon was dedicating the temple, they were all in there, the priests, and they were had everything lined up. And, of course, the Ark of the Covenant was there. The Spirit of God came into that place in the form of smoke. You know, you hear about holy smoke? Well, there was holy smoke that came into that temple. And they were so awestricken, they had to stop everything they were doing. And I'll tell you, that's a wonderful feeling to be in the presence of God. And you know, when Moses saw the glory of God, and when Paul and Peter saw the glory of God, they had to fall prostrate on the floor, on the ground, because they couldn't stand in that presence. So our God is an awesome God. And we limit him so much. And I know every one of us, if we would really exercise the faith that we know that our God can do anything. He really can. I mean, we've all seen people who have been healed. Look at Gene. Gene's a good example. I mean, everybody was so afraid, and she was, you know, could take treatments or she could do whatever. And when God came here and visited us that morning and touched her, that's real. That's real. And you know what? There might be people who say, well, yeah, right. Right. That was just something else. It was, maybe it wasn't what they thought it was. You know, maybe that's true. But you know what? It doesn't make God any less. And for us who believe that he has that healing power, we need to never forget it. Because people who are prayed for, I don't even know who did the study, that this was many years ago, I heard this, so I guess it's true, because you know they say you can't believe everything you hear, that they did a study of people in a hospital, people who were prayed for and people who weren't. And the people who were prayed for seemed to get better quicker, you know. Now, whether that's because of the love and communion with their family, I tend to believe it's God's power, using our prayers and lifting. You know, I think about our little, you know, step-granddaughter, Erica. I mean, they were really painting a terrible picture of her prognosis of what was going to happen. And then when they get in there to operate, they were able to get everything. They didn't even have to do the full surgery they thought they were going to have to do. I tend to believe that's God, because the doctor said it was one of the worst cases that they had seen. And I'm thinking, if that's true, then why wouldn't you need the radical surgery, right? But we have a God who hears our prayers. And he will be there for us. And we limit him. I limit him. You know, we pray and ask God to do something, and we go out and try to fix it ourselves. We bring something and lay it at the altar, supposedly, then we pick it back up and carry it out with us. What's wrong with us? We need to trust him. We need to put our faith in him. We need to praise him every day. And I'll guarantee you, he'll be with you. He will give you a joy in your heart. When you praise God, it can't help but make you joyful. When you're going through a rough time, I think I remember Fran saying that she had been going through a terrible depression. Remember Fran Irving stood here and said, when they were down there in Brazil, she had gone through this terrible depression. And all she did was went and praised God. She praised God. Praised God. And kept praising till she got that victory over that depression. So, you know, we need to not be faint-hearted. We need to be devoted to him and be willing to hang in there. And sometimes his timing is not our timing. But we need to be willing to let him guide and lead. We also should make a public expression. When we come here to church and praise God with our singing and praying and whatever, we are doing that. You know, God is not ashamed of us, and we need not to be ashamed of him. It also means service. And it doesn't mean just to do it because you think you have to do it. You know, well, I'm going to go to church this morning. It's, you know, I better go. People will talk about me if I don't go. So I better go. Makes it look good. Everybody thinks I'm a good person. Well, if that's your attitude, you know, you might as well stay home. But he wants us to come with joy. He wants us to enjoy service. And that can mean with money. It can mean with our time. And I had to laugh the other night in Bible school. This was just too funny. we were taking up the offering, and little Devin, that I don't know if you remember Devin, his mother and him, they used to come here to church some with Rachel and her family. And so Devin had this little container of money to put in the offering. And when he dumped that offering in the plate, do you remember what happened, Sarah? What happened? He cried. He got so upset. And he poured it out. He went, wah! I mean, he was just, and I thought, okay. I said, maybe we should have the lesson about the joyful giver. It was just too cute. He thought that was his money. You know, he's only like three or four, I don't know. But he put that in the plate. Now, I hope you all don't feel like that. Now, nobody has burst into tears when they put their offering in. But you may have felt like it. But you know, we cannot outgive God. And if we put him first, he will always see that you have what you need. The Bible tells us that. He wants us to also remember him in being faithful to the body of Christ and to serving each other. And to every fifth Monday of the month, when we have a fifth Monday, we go to the rescue mission. That's a faithfulness. The church has done that for I don't even know how long, a long, long time. But the things you do to be faithful to each other. Remembering the Lord's Supper, remembering to take the communion, and to, when it was instituted by Christ, he didn't just do it for something to do. He wants us to think of him. And Paul, of course, you know, said it was not something to be taken lightly. It's not something you just get up and do. Everybody else is doing it. I'm going to get up there and take communion. But God's looking at your heart. And then it says, the last little reason here for praise is unqualified presentation of self, you know this isn't my wording, to God as an obedient servant. In other words, presenting yourself to God. You are here. You come into his presence. You give him your devotion, your faithfulness, and serve him with joy. And that's another part, that's another expression of praise. So there are all kinds of things we can do to show praise to him in the way we live. If we go out and not treat people right, you know, and do things that we shouldn't do, our whole group of Sunday school lessons has been about being separate from the world, you know, not doing things as the world did it. Last week we talked about in business how you don't cheat the people who are dealing with you. And today we were talking about how we need to, in our society, how we need to keep a separation, because there are a lot of things going on that we can't take part of. But God wants us to be faithful to him. And when he sees us being faithful and living a righteous life, it is a glory and an honor to him. So we need to remember, we are his ambassadors. I remember when I was when I graduated from college, they had a dinner for us, for anybody who was graduating from college or high school or whatever at our church, and we had certificates. And they put on there that we were ambassadors. That was what the certificate said, that we were ambassadors of Christ. And I thought that was very, very beautiful. And we need to continue to do that. The last part that I want to share with you is Psalm 150. And we all know that that is a praise psalm. And there were some really nice things about praise that the Open Bible shares about praise. It says, God alone is worthy of our praise. It is his will that we praise him. This praise should be continuous. We are to praise God for his holiness, grace, or wonderful kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. His faithfulness to us. All nature praises God. The sun, the moon, and the stars praise him. The angels praise him. So shouldn't we praise him? So remember, when you're going through the rough times as well as the good times, to praise him. And I would like to have you turn to page Psalm 150, and I'm going to read that to you. Now, this is from the New Living. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his heavenly dwelling. Praise him in his mighty heaven. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with a blast of the trumpet. Praise him with the lyre and the harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that lives sing praises to the Lord. And everybody, praise the Lord. And in the, I don't know what it, does it just say praise the Lord in yours at the very end? I think all of them do say that. Let's say it one more time. Praise the Lord. So remember, as you go through your days, when things are going bad, start praising the Lord. Start looking to him. And I still remember, and I guess you remember little things through your life. I remember Leroy Dick, who was a missionary, you know, Evelyn's husband. They had come here to speak and share their work. And I can still remember him standing. He didn't stand up here for whatever reason, but he's talking about how Peter was walking on the water. How, you know, Jesus had come out and he called Peter out of the boat and he started making steps on the water. But when did he fall? He took his eyes off of Jesus. So if we don't take our eyes off of Jesus and we praise him for all he's done, and I know you can find things to praise him, even if you're going through a rough time, because he'll bless you in those times. And like I said, that little song, God, any rivers you think are uncrossable, any mountains you cannot tunnel through, God specializes in things thought impossible. He'll do for others what he does for you. And I just, and at the end there it says he will do what no other power can do. So, you know, he can do anything. He is an awesome God. Yes, Jean?
My first husband, every time something would go wrong right then, he said, praise the Lord anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He always said that.
Right, right. And that's a good attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Because just like David, let's have a heart after God, a heart of praise, not a heart of discouragement and being down and tearing people down. Let's lift each other up, okay? And praise him. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that we will remember that no matter what's going on in our lives, that we would praise you. We thank you, Lord, for examples that we see in the scripture of how the people in the church and the people who were your leaders, how they worshiped you and praised you, and that we, just being common everyday people, that we would remember to praise you because you want our praises too. I just pray you'd help each one who's here today, if there are any needs, that they would come for prayer. And I pray, Lord, that you would be with those who maybe aren't feeling the best today and couldn't be with us. Pray that you'd give those who are traveling, give them traveling mercies and bring them back to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, if you'd like, please stand for the final hymn. I can't sing at that point, but no. Page 563.
Thank you. take your presence with us in our hearts and teach us to be praising Christians and that worship you with everything that we do and say in our lives, Lord, that we would be a glory and honor unto you.